The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
By Ryan Reeves, giving chase Gaudette, but out of his net, Bussy confidently whipped it around the near boards. Stopped by Goodrow, left wing side, reverses the puck. Liljegren keeps it in to Goodrow behind the net. He's got a man in front. There's Gaudette, and a one-time shot. A great save by Bussy with a minute and a half to go in the period, and here come the Canes the other way. Robinson moving in. Score! He's on the right wing side. He goes to the backhand, and right after that great save by Bussy, Robinson coming straight up the ice, beating Nedeljkovic to make it 3-1 Canes with a minute 21 to go in the second.
I even thought going into the third period, I know we were down two goals, but that had been against us, the last couple games. So we felt pretty good of finding our game, but we just never were connected and couldn't really get anything going, obviously, offensively. It was kind of man versus boys tonight.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Yeah, that was not the great performance we were hoping for from San Jose last night. In fact, it was relatively lackluster and indicative of where they are against a really good team like Carolina. And unfortunately, that is still part of the Sharks' narrative. And yes, they win and played two very good games against both Vegas and Anaheim. They were maybe a little bit more fueled by adrenaline because it was the first two games of the year. Obviously, you've got a home crowd. You've got everybody excited. Game one doesn't go your way. Game two is then a back-and-forth thriller against Anaheim, and that one doesn't go your way as well. And maybe just a little bit of that adrenalized nature kind of wore off heading into this one. We saw Michael Meese's debut. I thought that he looked perfectly fine, neither good nor bad, and that's what I expect from a young player in the NHL, a teenager. Sam Dickinson had a learning moment in this one where he got caught puck watching before that third goal, and that really was the difference maker in the game, or where the game turned, I would say, especially since the Sharks had just had a really good moments looking for a goal, and a great save was made by Bossy, and it just goes the other direction, and suddenly you're down 3-1 as opposed to what felt like a chance to tie things up 2-2. And to Ryan Warsawski's point, it was men versus boys in this instance, and hopefully this will fuel San Jose to have a better performance against Utah on Friday night, the first of an away and home back-to-back at Utah, and then home versus the Pens, because you need to get a win pretty soon here. And I think especially in these first five games, that's one that's very important. And I know that right now people are probably starting to wonder if they're going to have another extended losing streak to start the season. And, A, I would hope not, but B, I really have no idea one way or another. I think the results that we saw in the first two games are relatively encouraging about what San Jose can do against good teams. And, right now for San Jose, it's a matter of figuring it out. I know everybody wants to make comparisons to a year ago. I know everybody wants to say that, this, that, or the other thing is the reason why they're losing. I don't know anything about this team yet, I'll be honest. We have to watch them play a number of games. We have to watch and see the way it works out. This is an entirely new team that does not directly compare to what we saw a year ago, and I think that's the most important narrative to take away and keep that in our minds as we watch what this team does over the course of 82 games. And we have seen three games. Three out of 82 games is relatively nothing. It's like 3% of the season or something ridiculous like that. So yeah, there's a lot more that's going to be played out of this season. There's a lot more that we're going to learn about these Sharks. There's a lot more that we're going to see from the young players. And so right now, it's just frustrating to me to watch the way this game played out, because early on, the Sharks had opportunities where they were not able to capitalize on the power play. And you get a power play 25 seconds into the game, and they didn't look like they were ready to go. They looked like they were a little bit flat-footed. They were not making their passes. They were not putting the puck on, you know, tape-to-tape passes. They were not setting themselves up. And, of course, you give Carolina credit there for having a good penalty kill and being able to slow down San Jose. But it was one of those games where every time the Sharks looked like they had an opportunity, they just weren't able to get it done. You think about a couple of plays, a breakaway for Alex Wennberg, and he was not able to control the puck and put it into the net. You know, that was one of those plays where the Sharks have a good look in front and just suddenly there's a stick, you know, jamming the puck away. That's what good teams do. Good teams are going to make life difficult for you. But I also think it's important to remember that, you know, if you are one of those fans that's been consistently saying that I want to see the kids, I want to see these young players play, you cannot compare all of them to what we saw last year from Will and Mac, who were exceptional, exceptional talents. A, with Sam Dickinson, the defenseman position is harder to learn. It takes longer to learn. It takes more game experience to learn. And we are going to watch these lumps in real time because that's the only way you learn is to take your lumps in these games early on where it is not the narrative of San Jose where they are vying for playoff positioning right now, where they are trying to find themselves in a, you know, best possible, you know, home ice situation. That's not what these years are right now. If the Sharks do get dragged down the road by the high-level talents of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and some of these veterans having, you know, pretty standout years like a Jeff Skinner, Tyler Toffoli, that would be great. I'm not going to deny that in the slightest, but right now it's about developing these young players, and you are going to watch Sam Dickinson have struggles. You are going to watch him have difficulties learning the position. The same thing for Shakir Mukhamudulin. We are going to watch Colin Graf go in and out of the lineup as he learns more and more about the NHL game to become more of a contributor and not just a PK specialist. We are going to see more and more from Will Smith, who is a young player, and Macklin Celebrini. Both of them have had some high points so far this year. Both of them have had some low points so far this year. We are going to see more from Michael Misa. He made his NHL debut tonight, and there was absolutely nothing spectacular or nothing awful about what we saw from him. I thought that there were a few times it was pretty easy to see that he was muscled off the puck, that he needs to be stronger, that he needs to get used to the speed of the game, that he's got less reaction time, that he's got to have more ability to put the puck in play in a very, very quick and rapid fashion. But that's part of learning. And I know that everyone wants these guys to be their complete selves in, you know, a minute, but you have to go and reference what we've seen from other teams in the NHL. You know, think about how long Florida was bad. Think about how long Tampa was bad. Think about how long Carolina was bad. Think about how long Colorado was bad. These teams bottomed out, and then it took some years for them to build into the powers that we regard them as today. And obviously, Tampa's at the end of that stage to where they are more on the decline. But I think it is important to reference that this takes time. And our greatest issue, our greatest battle, even more the development, is impatience because fans get impatient. There were some boos at the end of last night's game, and I don't know what that does for anyone. I think that it's easy to boo from distance. The greater removed you are from the situation, the easier it is to be critical. And when you're down there in the dressing room after and you see Tyler Toffoli, who is upset, I don't think he's losing his mind or anything like that. He knows as a veteran that it's three games into the year and he's got a lot to worry about that's not going to happen so far in this season, but he clearly was not happy with the team's performance. William Eklund went hoodie up, clearly dismayed with the way that he played and his line played, and I think these are all relatively good takes. You don't want them to be indifferent to losing. That's the greatest concern that comes out of all of these struggles for San Jose as they build themselves back up. You do not want them to be accepting or in any way used to losing, that becomes the norm to where they kind of acquiesce to defeat. You want these guys to be ticked off. You want them to be displeased. Ryan Warsofsky, he was not happy after the game last night, gave a lot of more short, terse answers. And I think it's again, all valid. These guys are going to be upset with the results until they walk away with 2 points. And then even on a 2-point game, there are probably going to be times where they're not happy with the way they played that earned the 2 points. The standard becomes higher. The standard grows. They try and find themselves as they get deeper into their narrative as players, as they get deeper into their narrative as a team. And right now we are at the very, very early stages. Obviously, everything's been torn down to the studs. The rebuild in that sense is over, and now it's just the build as they're trying to bring in and develop young talents. And developing young talents, it's not going to be pretty. watching Sam Dickinson get caught watching that puck float through the air that led to the third goal. It was like, hey, man, you can't watch. You've got to be reacting. You've got to get back on D. And that mistake is probably going to earn him a seat from the game overall on Friday night. He's probably not going to play. I would expect him to be back on Saturday on the second night of a away and home back-to-back. But, you know, Ryan Orzechowski is going to use these teaching moments. But it's also important for these guys to be able to get used to the NHL lifestyle. They've got to get used to the practice. They've got to get used to the, you know, schedule. They've got to get used to the travel. They've got to get used to the physicality. More than anything, they've got to get used to the speed. And that was one of those instances where Sam Dickinson was not accustomed to the speed. He just got caught watching for a half second. And in the NHL, that half second can be the difference between a goal and a, you know, nice defensive play. He learned, and learning is what we need to expect this year. Michael Misa, again, when I referenced him getting muscled off the puck, when I referenced him, you know, being just a little bit slower, a little bit tentative, or a little bit, you know, behind the play, that's part of the learning process. We make the comparison to a Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, you know, again, very, very high level, top level talents. As a forward, Will Smith was a little bit older than Michael Misa. A year of development in this high level matters. I think it's, you know, important not to forget that. The other thing that I think is unfair is everybody is going to compare young talents in San Jose to Macklin Celebrini. It is not by accident that Macklin Celebrini is considered to be the next face of the NHL. Macklin Celebrini, as a rookie, played with a near reckless abandon, you know, to the wall type mentality every single time he was up and down the ice. And yes, it has a high payoff, but at times there were, you know, there were problems. He'd turn the puck over. He would give it away. But Macklin Celebrini is a unique case where the game slows down in front of him to where his processing power for an 18-year-old was already at such a high level, combined with his vision, combined with everything. You know, Michael Misa could easily develop into a player like that. I don't put anything against him. The Sharks could have superstar players in the same way that we look at a Draisaitl and a McDavid or any of the other great top, you know, two players, top two forwards in the NHL. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Will Smith as well. I'm just talking about centers and the reckless abandon which we saw Macklin play last year. It's not fair to hold a player like Michael Misa to that standard, because that is simply unfair. I heard Drew Remenda talking about it the other night, that comparison is the thief of joy. Not only is it the thief of joy, it also makes you not appreciate or understand what is happening in front of you. It is not fair to say that Michael Misa is not Macklin Celebrini, because he isn't Macklin Celebrini. He's Michael Misa. It's not fair to compare Shakir Mukhmudulin to Erik Karlsson or Brent Burns. It's not fair to compare Will Smith to Evgeny Malkin or Joe Thornton or any of these things. These are all different players. And if you only look at the comparison to a direct player who's already had an established career, that's not going to be fair to anyone. And then if you also compare these young players to other young players who had some of the best rookie seasons we've seen in recent memory, again, not fair. Everyone's individual development arc is going to be unique, and it's going to be catered to the individual. Right now, they are developing these young talents. That's why they didn't, you know, get ahead of themselves in putting Sam Dickinson in against a very heavy lineup like Vegas in game number one. And Michael Misa, they probably waited a little bit so he could view from the outside, watch the way the NHL was working, give him time to eat, give him time to work out, give him time to rest, give him time to get his body ready, because he did slow down towards the end of the preseason. And I think that's just the relative fatigue of never having been through it before, but they are preparing him for the realities and the hardships of the NHL. And that is much of the development battle as it is just being out there and 100% able to use every single one of your skill sets. That is part of the narrative that we're watching here in San Jose. And I know that people are going to say that, well, you compare them to what we've seen from other rookies in the NHL this year. And yeah, they've got greater support staffs around them. I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, San Jose is where every other team is, nor should they be. We have seen the slow play from Mike Greer at every single turn with this rebuild, and hopefully that will mean these guys are getting a longer time to develop and getting a longer time to work on their skill sets and be ready for when the games and the seasons truly matter. And again, I'm not trying to tell you that this year is irrelevant. It's just that they're not in contention. They are not a team that we're looking at and saying, okay, this has got to be, you know, go time. They've got to push themselves, because that's not the narrative right now. Right now, it's about player development. It's about figuring out what you have for the future. And I think that by giving Colin Graf a game's rest, Ryan Warsawski is thinking, hey, we've got back-to-backs coming up. I need to make sure that he is ready to go if we need him in both those games. And I'm sure we're going to see Colin Graf worked back into the lineup. I'm sure we're going to see Shakir Mukhamudulin, another guy who they're trying to get into the rigors of the NHL. And last year he played 30-ish games. That's still not the same. He's also coming back from a pretty major injury, and I'm sure they're not wanting to tax him to the same extent to make sure that his body is still building back up from the injury he suffered. These guys need to get bigger. They need to grow mentally and physically. They need to not have all the pressure on the world on them every single night. That's why San Jose brought in so many veterans, so all of the weight does not go on the rookie shoulders. They need to make sure that they are giving these young players the opportunity to grow in a non-pressure-packed situation beyond what the realities of the NHL are. Now, beyond that, though, you do need to see a leveling up of play across the board for the San Jose Sharks to get that first win of the year. You know, I think it was after the first game where Ryan Warsawski said the Sharks were just chucking the puck around a little bit. And, you know, that's been something of a consistent nature that I've seen in the first couple of games, where you can tell that they're all still learning each other. There's a little bit of unnecessary puck movement at times, in the sense that you've seen guys delay or hesitate and kind of cycle it around a little bit, as opposed to being as aggressive as I would have otherwise liked them to be. You know, guys are still figuring out each other and where they are going to be consistently on the ice, where they're going to find themselves. This is all normal. This is all the expectation of what we've seen from San Jose. But I think it's the not getting down on yourself. I think it's the just taking a step away on a 50-50 puck to where you feel it's better to get back and defend than get caught out. I need to see a little bit more aggression. I need to see a little bit more of a lack of hesitation. I need to see a little bit more conviction in their play. And I think that when, again, Ryan Warsawski is talking about compete level, he's not trying to say anything like these guys aren't trying. I think the narrative that I'm seeing is that they are just a little bit tentative because they're afraid of making mistakes. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Don't be afraid of being on the wrong end of a play. Go out there, make the play, trust your instincts, trust the outcome, and you're going to walk away with a better performance across the board. It's easy to get into that gripping mentality where guys are afraid that they're going to be the one making the mistake. And that is relatively normal, especially on a team like San Jose, but you need them to get over that. You need them to be ready to just make the play, to be not necessarily thoughtless or reactionary, but to be convicted in their assignments and their skill set, to where if they commit, they're not afraid that it's going to go the opposite direction for a goal. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Be afraid of hesitation. And I'm not trying to pick on Alex Nedeljkovic in this instance, because I think on that game-winning goal, there was a bit of hesitation that crept into that moment where he got out and thought to himself, uh-oh, should I be going out all the way? Should I be diving at this puck? Just make the play that your brain is telling you to make. That's what you've got to do as a hockey player. Trust your instincts. Trust your experience, of which the young guys don't have a lot. Trust what you've done that's made you a player in the NHL up to this point in your career. And I actually, while talking about Alex Nedeljkovic, he was under fire last night. The Sharks gave up 33 shots in the first two periods. You know, they were on pace for about 50, and that's not good. Your goalie's under siege. You put him in difficult situations. I did not think Alex Nedeljkovic was amazing last night or anything like that, but I also in no way thought that he was the problem. You know, there was a great screen goal. There was, you know, situations where he was just not in a good position to make a save or was put in a one-on-goalie situation. But ultimately, I do not look at Nedeljkovic and think that he was the problem. I think that across the board, the Sharks were outworked. They were not as talented. They were caught out in the game of physicality. They made more mistakes. They got beat. That's just the cold reality of life in the NHL when you're not as good as the opposition. They were simply defeated by a better team. It is a very clear narrative. You want to see the Sharks make adjustments and put themselves in a better place before they go into the game on Friday night at Utah and then back home on Saturday. But, you know, this isn't rocket science, guys. They simply were not good as the Canes, and they were punished for it. I'm glad they're upset about it. I'm glad that it was a learning experience for some of the young players, but I don't think this was some sort of great indictment on what the San Jose Sharks are at this point of their path. They are still a team that is learning on the fly with young players that are being put out there who are going to take their lumps. Macklin Celebrini, for all the praise that we heap upon him, he took his lumps in game number two when he tried to do too much. That is how you learn. A great line that I heard recently is failure brings you freedom. And I think that's the sense of get over it, acknowledge that failure is how you grow, and move on from it. You don't get great in life by only succeeding. You don't get great in sports by only having success and winning. It is the losses. It is the moments where you find yourself on the wrong side of the play. That's what's going to turn you into a better player. And I think that that's just what you have to accept if you're a young player in the NHL right now. I'm sure Sam Dickinson was not very happy with himself. I doubt he makes that mistake again. It's going to be something that he no longer has to think about, and he will be free to play his game. I don't think Michael Mesa is going to be as tentative on some of those 50-50 pucks. I think he's going to look at how the game went and think to himself, okay, I need to position myself. I need to brace earlier. I need to put myself in ability where I can be stronger on the puck when I'm, you know, about to be contested. He will learn. All these guys are going to learn. It's a process, though. And again, everyone wants to see the young guys. This is part of the reality of seeing the young guys. You are going to see youthful mistakes, which is to be expected in the NHL. Yeah, you would like the veterans to step up and do a little bit more in certain situations. We talk about the realities of San Jose, where they are also just not as good as their opposition. It's a big part of the narrative. Let's get into some of the post-game audio from Tyler Toffoli. Again, a longtime veteran in the NHL, knows what it takes to win. Conversely, also knows what it was that led the Sharks to not have a great performance. He didn't sugarcoat it afterwards.
I mean, they're obviously a really good team. They've been playing well to start the season. And I thought we had some really good looks in the first period. And after that, it seemed like they just outwork us and couldn't find a way to battle back.
All they had in them was the one equalizing goal. And then after that, it was all Carolina. And yes, there were mistakes along the way, but that is very clear on what the narrative was for San Jose. They only scored that one goal. They couldn't get themselves any closer. Carolina knows what it takes to win games. They know how to punish the opposition. They bury their chances. They killed off the Sharks' first three power plays in the first period, of which if you're at home and you cannot score a goal on three power plays in the first period, that's going to come back to bite you. And I think that's, again, something the Sharks have to look at and have a more lethal mentality. It is easier to be lethal when you have an experienced team that knows what it takes to get it done, like Carolina, like Florida, like Vegas, etc., etc. But it is something that San Jose needs to figure out and needs to know that if their opportunity is presented to them 25 seconds into the game, you score. And then if you don't make good on that opportunity, when you get another one shortly thereafter, you need to score. And if you don't make good on that one, if you get a third opportunity, that means you need to give yourself a chance. And not that they should think the game is over if they go 0-for-3 in the first period on the power play. But my greater point is if the game gives you opportunity, if the game gives you a chance, you need to make sure that the game's narrative molds to what your expectations are.
Yeah, like I said, they started putting a lot of pressure on us, and we just didn't win enough battles low and on the walls, especially on the walls. And that's what they do best, and that's where they keep the pressure on and do what they do.
Toffoli was not out of his mind upset after this game or anything. He was just very blunt about it. He saw the way that they were not winning the battles. He saw the way that Carolina was outworking them. He saw the way that they were not winning the pucks along the boards. I mean, these are things that lead to wins in games. If you're not winning those battles, if the opposition's work rate is at a higher level, yeah, you're going to come out on the wrong end of things. And I think Tyler Toffoli saw that very plainly, and that's why he was, just blunt in the postgame. He saw the game as it went down. He gave us an honest assessment. After the game, William Eklund spoke as he scored his first goal of the year. He had his hoodie on. I saw somebody say that we had the return of emo William Eklund, which made me laugh. But yeah, he didn't sound like the happiest camper when discussing the game.
Howie. So sad we you know, we're just not good enough in the battles, in the puck play. You know, I gotta make way better plays out there. You know, our line gotta be way better than we were tonight. You know, we gotta create some offense, but we also gotta be good on the defense and so on. So, you know, we gotta come back tomorrow and see what we can do better, and we'll be way better in Utah.
And so this is where you start waiting to see if the corrections can come. Can they make the adjustments to their game before they do play that game in Utah? Obviously, they're going to travel on Thursday after they practice, but we look at what they are right now is a little bit, you know, shell-shocked, I think, after those first two games of the year where they were so close to finding wins. Then they go up against a really good Canes team where they just didn't have it. And I would say, to give the Canes credit, it took the Sharks out of their game. You know, they did things a little bit better than what we saw from Vegas and what we saw from Anaheim, and it took the Sharks out of their game. How does San Jose react now as they go into Utah? The Mammoth have only played on the road so far this year. They've got their home opener tonight, and then they'll be taking on San Jose on Friday. San Jose will have more rest, but it'll also be their first road game of the year. So see what adjustments San Jose can make after practicing Wednesday, Thursday, getting a little bit of that rest, traveling, not a long flight, getting into Utah, and getting themselves a chance to go and put forth a good performance against a not great team. I'm not trying to say that this is a must-win or should-win situation, but I do think that San Jose has the ability to give themselves a chance to get a win. And then against the Pens, who were 2-2, I think that, you know, again, that's another winnable game. Those teams are not on the level, I think that's fair to say, as we would look at with a Vegas in particular and Carolina. And I would think that Utah is more in line with maybe what the Ducks are being. And I'm not trying to doubt the opposition or anything to that effect. I'm just saying you look at what, you know, the narrative has been surrounding the team, how much talent they have. That's probably more of where I would say these next two teams are. And a lot of people have the Pens towards more of the bottom of the league this year, which don't tell Sidney Crosby that. But again, there are more winnable games on the schedule. The one that sticks out to me is the game against Anaheim. That's a team that's closer to your overall ability. You know, you can't get too upset about losing to Vegas and losing to Carolina. Those are teams that we would ostensibly consider contenders. You want to be upset about losing to Anaheim. You want to be upset about not giving yourself a chance to get a point on the road against Utah. You would hopefully be upset about not being able to get a win at home against a team like the Pens, which again are going to give you trouble regardless due to some of the great talents, all-time talents really on their team. But those are more of the relatively, realistic expectations. And I think that's where the Sharks need to make sure that they take care of business, because then things get very, very difficult. You're going out on the road after that game against the Pens, and that's where things are going to get very difficult for San Jose. You've got, you know, Tuesday, Thursday in New York against the Islanders, then the Rangers. Then you've got the Friday night at New Jersey. Then you've got Sunday at Minnesota before you're back home on the 28th against LA. And then you've got New Jersey again. And that's a busy, busy month, guys. I mean, that is the reality of the NHL, because you get through these first couple of games and then, you know, you've got a couple of back-to-backs. You're on the East Coast. You know, that's how things work. That's when the life of the NHL comes at you, and that's what you're hopefully preparing Sam Dickinson and Michael Mesa for. Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini obviously got their first tastes of it last year. Colin Graf got a taste of it as well. So it's all part of what the Sharks knew they were getting themselves into this year, and we have to see if they're ready to take advantage of some of the, you know, more favorable matchups. Those are the ones that they can't let get away from them. Is when they have a chance against a team that's more along their level, make sure that they go for the jugular, make sure you take care of business in those games, and you give yourself your best opportunity to win, because, again, the schedule comes fast and furious now that we are into the NHL season. You know, before it was opening nights and a little bit of spacing in the schedule. Now, with the way the schedule is set up this year due to the Olympics, you are going to be watching these guys put through the ringer physically, scheduling-wise. All of it, this suddenly goes from being a thought of, I wonder how this team is going to do, to where we are going to get a very, you know, realistic idea of what this team is, and they are going to get a very realistic idea of what it's going to take in the NHL when you're dealing with the rigors of the schedule. It's not just the young guys, it's the veterans, it's everyone as they try to find themselves in a position to get a win. All right, well, we are just about out of time. We will be back with you on Friday as the San Jose Sharks are getting ready to play their first road game of the year. That's a game that's on ESPN Plus, so you're going to want to tune in to Dan Ruzanowski for that broadcast on Friday night. Hear the game, sync it up, you get a home broadcast. So if you don't want to listen to the guys on ESPN, you don't have to. However, our good friend Roxy Bernstein, who has called Sharks games in the past, is going to be on the call. He's a Bay Area native. He knows the team very, very well. All right, for the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.